There's a chill in the air. Candy corn at the store. You know what that means. It's officially spooky season. Now, some of us like to celebrate this time of year by curling up in front of a good old-fashioned scary movie. I know I do. NPR's Glenn Weldon and I have that in common. He's one of the hosts of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast. Good to have you on, Glenn.
Great to be here.
Okay, so I hear that you're not just a fan of horror movies, although that is more than enough for me. You like a particular type of horror, folk horror. Now, what makes folk horror different from any other scary movie?
Well, first of all, it's a genre that's made right now for this time of year. You know, the days are getting shorter, the nights are getting darker, the leaves are turning. This genre of horror has a very pagan harvest festival, autumn solstice vibe. So grab some hot cider and settle in. Folk horror is often set in remote, isolated areas where nature still holds sway. Well, not just nature. Nature combined with local superstitions.
Superstitions that can be scary. Yeah. Now, okay, so the movie that I think jumps to mind for many people would be that 2019 movie Midsummer with Florence Pugh, where she goes to Sweden for the Midsummer Festival, and things take a seriously dark turn. Is that what we're talking about here?
That's exactly the vibe. The folk horror genre is getting kind of a resurgence right now, and that's a perfect modern-day example, which is set all in and around a fertility festival.
I invited my friends because this is a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and I wanted to share it, especially with my friends who I knew would appreciate it, because I am proud of this place.
Okay, but I'm not an anthropologist, and I don't understand any of this.
Yes, I know. And yet I was the most excited for you to come.
Oh, don't trust that guy. The classic example is 1973's The Wicker Man, in which a very uptight British policeman visits this remote Scottish island to investigate the disappearance of a young girl. Turns out the locals have embraced a form of Celtic paganism, and that does not sit right with him.
You suspect foul play?
I suspect murder.
We don't commit murder up here. We're a deeply religious people.
Yeah, things don't end well for that guy. Shocking to learn. So The Wicker Man was the first folk horror film that I saw as a kid, which is maybe why I still love folk horror that's set in 1970s Britain. Just the fashions, Aisha, the mustaches, yes. The tight bell bottoms. I call that era the talismans and turtlenecks era of horror because it occurred at a time when interest in the occult became kind of a fad that inspired a wave of folk horror films, specifically inflected with a kind of satanic panic. The Dunwich Horror is a great example of that, a very cheesy example of that. You can tell the bad guy in that movie, Aisha, because he's got not one, but two pinky rings, one on each hand.
Oh, my God. The pinky rings, you got to watch out for that. That's a bad sign. You're working
in
with Satan
real life and in
right
film.
There. So, no offense to the pinky ring wearers out there. So, with folk horror, are we talking about the supernatural or is it all the kind of the weird people who are the folks, you know what I'm saying, in these
That's
stories?
Exactly. The thing I love best about it is you can never tell with any given film because some folk horror involves the supernatural, but I kind of like the ones that don't, right? That where the stories are, you know, it's about the folk themselves, the locals and their beliefs that are the true source of horror. So do check out The Wicker Man, but you want to be careful here. You want to check out the 1973 version. There is a remake with Nicolas Cage. You're going to want to skip that one.
What is that? Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast! Ah! Open up my eyes!
I like that one. That's the only one I've seen. So I need to see the original one.
You're killing me. Just do me a favor. See the OG. See the 1973. And then get back to me. The Witchfinder General has a great Vincent Price performance. More recent examples are films like Kill List, Men, The Ritual, Apostle, The Medium. New film came out this year called Starve Acre. I'm throwing out a lot of names, but if you want to dip your toe into this genre, a really great place to start is a documentary called Woodlands Dark and Days Bewitched, A History of Folk Horror, that you can find streaming on a lot of different platforms right now.
Okay, I love The Ritual. I saw that. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. That's a good one. I haven't seen the rest of them, but I will start looking into them.
Now's the time.
Yes. So there are lots of types of horror. You know, I talked to the director of the new movie, The Substance, recently. That was body horror.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, very body horror. Uh-huh. And sometimes horror movies, you know, they can definitely be funny.
Yep.
When it comes to folk horror, what should we make of these movies that seem to be about outsiders, interlopers who get into trouble, and nature?
Yeah, well, let me get a little grad school on you, because folk horror, if you think about it, is rooted in very old superstitions about everything that lies beyond the edges of society, right? Spirits of the woods, spirits of the field. It's a kind of rejection of industrialization, of this whole notion that humanity can ever conquer the earth, right? That there's something out there in the dark waiting for us, and it's generally tied to a specific place. Mm-hmm. So think of it as hyper-local horror, right? Farm-to-table horror. That's the cultural component. But psychologically, it's also playing on, I think, pretty universal feelings of alienation and isolation that we all have that make us all feel like outsiders, sometimes in our own communities. It gives those feelings solid flesh. And when the supernatural is involved, sometimes that flesh kind of pulses and oozes. Sometimes it's furry and sometimes it's clawed. But whenever the story is about the way it's just us humans clinging to beliefs in the supernatural, the flesh involved is very, very human, and by the time the movie's over, it's probably going to get stabbed with a sacrificial dagger or two.
Yes, and that's always, you know, the best part, when they bring out the sacrificial dagger.
They're always very pretty, bejeweled. Yes.
That's Glenn Weldon, host of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast. Thank you so much, Glenn.
Happy spooky season.